Reading. Hello, this is Jen Rogers for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is All About Pets. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Catster.com and Dogster Magazine. On today's All About Pets, we'll start with an article from Catster.com titled Deciphering Cat Ages and Stages by Dr. Arnold Plotnick. How old is your cat in human years? How many life stages do cats have? How do you care for your cat at each life stage? A veterinarian provides answers. Of all the myths involving companion animals, one that continues to persist and still drives me batty is the notion that cats and dogs grow older at a pace of 7 years for every human year. Frankly, this idea has never made much sense to me. We've all seen, or at least know of, cats who have lived to the age of 20. In fact, at one point, I had over 30 20-year-old cats in my veterinary practice. Using the 1 equals 7 rule, a 20-year-old cat would be the equivalent of a 140-year-old person, which simply isn't possible. Let's now consider reproduction. Cats and dogs can get pregnant and produce offspring as early as 6 months of age. Using the 1 equals 7 rule, a 6-month-old cat is the equivalent of a 3.5-year-old human. Can people have babies at this age? Of course not. The 1 equals 7 rule doesn't work for the simple reason that cats age faster when they're younger and slow down when they're older. How to compare cat years to human years? A number of years ago, the American Association of Feline Practitioners, AAFP, and the American Animal Hospital Association, AAHA, collaborated to create an age comparison chart that takes this into account. According to this chart, a 1-year-old cat is equivalent to a 15-year-old person, and a 2-year-old cat is like a 24-year-old person. After that, you add 4 human years for every cat year. This is a more logical approach, and in my experience, it seems pretty accurate. Note, the chart doesn't apply to dogs. Dogs have different age equivalents depending on their size. Big dogs have shorter lifespans than small dogs, for example. Cats are all roughly the same size, so the chart is universal for cats. How many life stages do cats have? Another topic related to age and longevity is cat life stages. There are several opinions on this subject, but no consensus. The variations are most likely based on semantics and whether you tend to be a lumper or a splitter. Lumpers prefer to group some stages together into a larger category, while splitters prefer to divide the stages. The only common ground among all the versions is the first life stage, kitten. The updated age comparison chart mentioned describes the life stages of the cat, dividing it into 6 distinct stages. Kitten, 0 to 6 months, junior, 7 months to 2 years, prime, 3 to 6 years, mature, 7 to 10 years, senior, 11 to 14 years, geriatric, 15 and older. Splitters were probably happy with this 6-stage version, although as a cat veterinarian, I have mixed feelings. I never knew exactly where to draw the line between adult and senior. Dividing older cats into mature, senior, and geriatric categories based on these age ranges seems sensible. However, dividing younger cats into junior and prime felt a bit contrived. In a recently updated 2021 report, the AAFP AAHA described 4 basic age-related feline stages. Kitten, birth to 1 year, young adult, 1 to 6 years, mature adult, 7 to 10 years, senior, older than 10 years. If you're a lumper, you probably love this streamlined version. I'm content with the first 3 categories and their associated age ranges. However, I feel that the senior stage should be further divided, resulting in a 5-stage classification that, in my opinion, covers all the bases. Kitten, birth to 1 year. Young adult, 1 to 6 years. Mature adult, 7 to 10 years. Senior, 11 to 15 years. Geriatric, 16 years and older. I've seen variations of the versions described above, but with the term super senior replacing the term geriatric. I suspect some people feel that the word geriatric is too clinical, or that it carries negative connotations. As a veterinarian, I prefer the term geriatric, although I understand why cat parents would fancy the term super senior, as it invokes awe and wonder and makes the cat sound like a superhero, which is a pretty cool concept. Finding the right care for your cat at each stage. The main reason veterinarians divide a cat's life into stages is to help us formulate health and wellness plans that are appropriate for that particular life stage. The illnesses and behavioral changes we're likely to encounter, and the diagnostic tests that are recommended, will differ depending on these stages. Whether you, as a cat parent, prefer the 4-stage classification, kitten, young adult, mature adult, senior, a 5-stage version, kitten, young adult, mature adult, senior, geriatric, or a 6-stage model, kitten, junior, prime, mature, senior, geriatric, is a matter of personal preference. As a cat veterinarian who feels that all cats die too young, the fact that so many life stage charts recognize the existence of a geriatric or super senior stage tells us that cats are living longer than ever before, and that's something we can all agree is wonderful news. Next, we'll move on to an article in Cat Behavior. Why is Kitty so mad? It could be redirected aggression. By Rita Reimers and Linda Hall. What is actually the true source of your kitty's aggression? Find out here. We recently received a call for help from a very confused cat parent. It seems her cat had suddenly decided to attack everyone at random. The cat parent, the other cats, the dog. Having always been a sweet and loving kitty, this new behavior perplexed the family. After ruling out medical issues with their veterinarian, the kitty's mom decided to book a behavior session with us at Cat Behavior Alliance. As we asked her questions about the cat's behavior during our Zoom meeting, the reason for the quote-unquote bad conduct became crystal clear. This was a classic case of redirected aggression. What was actually the true source of Kitty's aggression? New neighbors had moved in, and the sight of their cat outdoors in the yard drove the cat bonkers. Cats are always on guard for predators, and there was a possible predator right next door, one the cat could see but not reach. Unable to attack the true source of frustration and anguish, Kitty had turned the aggression toward any being that was close enough to touch. What is redirected aggression in cats? Redirected aggression, also called displaced aggression, is one of the most common behavior issues in cats. Simply put, something happened that caused the cat to react in fear, and their natural survival instincts took over. It's the old fight-or-flight reflex kicking in, the one that keeps cats safe from becoming another predator's meal in nature. Unable to reach the actual object of aggression, the cat may decide that fighting with another indoor cat, a dog pal, or even humans is necessary to survive. Take, for example, how we humans sometimes misdirect our anger. The man who has a bad day at the office might come home from work and yell at the kids. It's not the kids he's really upset with, it's his boss, but he is unable to properly direct his temper. It wasn't a conscious decision. The anxiety bubbles up and must come out. Displaced aggression in cats works exactly the same way. So, what is my cat mad about? What might cause misdirected aggressive behavior in your normally friendly feline? Anything that your cat may perceive as a threat to his territory or his resources may set off the aggression, and his inability to attack the true source may cause misdirection of his survival response to the threat. A few catalysts to displaced aggression are loud noises or yelling in the house, outdoor cats roaming around your cat's territory, Other animals outside, such as squirrels, dogs, rabbits, or birds. Disagreements between indoor cats. Mating season, even if your cat is spayed or neutered. Anything the cat feels is a threat to his world. Need to calm down your cat? You can try some of these remedies. The Feel Away, which is a plug-in. Cat Calm is a spray, or you can use Box Rescue Remedy spray. Next, we'll move on to an article in Lifestyle titled Cats Rule at the Kitty Bodega by Elisa Jordan. The past couple of years have been a time of change and reflection for many people as they dealt with pandemic-related challenges. Although the circumstances may not have been happy, making the most of a situation can make things easier. For many years, Angie Illy ran her own business to support herself through college, then got into the corporate world for the next 9 years doing project management and business development. During the pandemic, she sold her homemade macarons a couple times a month at flea markets to help fund her pet rescue efforts. It combined two of her passions, macarons and cat rescue. Like a lot of folks during this time, she was contemplating what to do next as the world was changing. She loves macarons, but making them can prove challenging, so opening a bakery might not be prudent. She also wasn't sure if she wanted to head back into the corporate world or run a small business. Both come with stresses and perks, she says. She asked herself, "What have I never gotten bored with?" The answer, working with cats. "I've been doing TNR, trap, neuter, return, and rescue for over 17 years, starting back when I was in college in New York City. In New York, TNR and cat rescue is ingrained in the culture, so it was a natural progression for me having lived there most of my adult life. A one-stop shop for cats. Angie decided to open a retail store to serve the needs of cats. The Kitty Bodega opened on March 1st in Houston, Texas, where she now resides. I strive to provide a place cat owners can go to and ask just about anything as it relates to their cats and get sensible and hopefully helpful feedback, Angie says. It's also a place where people are encouraged to share their own lessons learned as a cat caretaker. What one person shares with me today may end up helping another person who walks in the store tomorrow. Whether a cat has health issues like picky eating, scarf and barfing, or gastrointestinal problems, or behavior problems like litter box avoidance or separation anxiety, the store specializes in anything cat. While the store is still new, Angie is hopeful she can expand her efforts. Eventually, she'd like to move into a bigger space and support a wider variety of health, apothecary, and wellness products, she says. She would also like more room to display larger cat furnishings and build out a freezer section for raw foods, treats, and ice creams. Getting back in touch with her TNR roots may not be out of the question either. It may come in the form of classes on how to trap or build shelters, or maybe a section in the store dedicated to colony management and TNR, which might feature things like traps, seasonal disposable shelters for colonies, and other odds and ends that make colony management and TNR much easier. In the meantime, Angie has already started helping cats in the Houston area get what they need to thrive. For more information, visit thekittybodega.com. Now we'll move on to Dogster Magazine, and we'll begin in the health section today with an article titled Time for Pain Medication by Arden Moore. We run down the growing ways to help with pain in our beloved pets. Hearing your dog whimper or yelp can definitely jar you. Seeing your pup limp can worry you. Witnessing your senior dog with arthritis gingerly walk up steps can make you cringe. Like us, our dogs are not shielded from pain that is simply defined as any physical discomfort caused by injury or disease. Pain can be acute, such as suffering from a broken leg, or chronic, such as contending constantly with arthritis in joints. And pain can definitely affect your dog's behavior, shifting him from being energetic and happy to one who now hides, acts depressed, or becomes a bit nippy if you touch a painful area on his body. Fixing pain is one of the most rewarding activities I've been involved in during my career, as it allows me to facilitate, enhance, lengthen, and strengthen the precious family-pet relationship, says Dr. Robin Downing, a veterinarian board certified as veterinary pain practitioner and canine rehabilitation practitioner who heads the Downing Center for Animal Pain Management in Windsor, Colorado. She points to a watershed moment during veterinary school in the 1980s when a professor advised to not take away all of the pain in dogs recovering from surgeries because the dogs would move around and hurt themselves. Even then, as a mere student, that did not sound right, says Dr. Downing, who is now regarded as a leader in pain management for pets. Fortunately for our dogs, pain management is garnering much-needed attention in recent years. The growing arsenal of pain-relieving options now range from medications, laser therapy, acupuncture, acupressure, and hydrotherapy to joint supplements and the basic warm-ups before vigorous hikes or runs, followed by muscle-stretching cool-downs. Let's take a closer look at the medications, therapies, and supplements used for pain management. Here are four common medications prescribed to dogs to alleviate pain. Prednisone. This steroid is used to replace or supplement glucocorticoids in dogs dealing with shock or Addison's disease. It is also used as an anti-inflammatory for dogs experiencing pain, fevers, or cancers such as lymphoma. The pros of using a steroid are that it has great immediate effects of reducing pain and inflammation in our pets, says Dr. Lindsay Butzer, a second-generation veterinarian at the Clint Moore Animal Hospital in Boca Raton, Florida, and PetMed's partner. The cons are that a steroid can not be used long-term due to severe side effects, such as developing liver disease, Cushing's disease, diabetes, and because it suppresses the immune system. Tramadol. This opioid is used for pain control and blocks pain pathways in a dog's body. It is often used to control post-surgical or chronic pain for dogs dealing with arthritis or hip dysplasia. The pros of tramadol are that it is a non-expensive pain drug with a wide margin of safety and minimal organ damage, Dr. Butzer says. The cons are that it can lower the threshold for seizures in dogs with a history of epilepsy and can cause moderate constipation. Gabapentin. This neuropathic pain medication is generally used as a sedative and pain medication. It helps keep dogs calm and relaxed. Gabapentin has been available as a low-cost generic for dogs for nearly 20 years, Dr. Downing says. Adds Dr. Butzer, it is a wide margin of safety and there is very little organ dysfunction noticed on blood work after long-term use. The cons of gabapentin are minimal. Most dogs have no side effects. Non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, NSAIDs. This pain category includes drugs like Rimadyl, Galliprant, Prevacox, and Medicam, all formulated for dogs. NSAIDs remain the cornerstones of pain management, both acute and chronic, Dr. Downing says. They address pain and inflammation. There is no one best NSAID, as the best NSAID is the one that works best for a specific patient. When paired with other pain-relieving products over time, veterinarians can safely lower the NSAID dose. This lowering provides potential protection of organs responsible for clearing the drug from the body, Dr. Downing says. Major caution, never give your dog human NSAIDs such as ibuprofen or acetaminophen, as they can cause renal failure and even death. It's not safe to give your dog over-the-counter pain medication, Tylenol or Advil for pain, Dr. Downing says. Ibuprofen is very toxic in dogs and can cause death. Over-the-counter meds from the human medicine cabinet are just not a good choice. Supplements for pain. Dr. Butzer acknowledges the rise in interest among pet parents to give their dogs CBD oil or joint supplements that contain glucosamine, chondroitin. CBD has now been used for over a decade and has been showing great pain relief in pets with safe dosing margins, Dr. Butzer says. As for supplements, look for those with the NASC, National Animal Supplement Council, NASC.cc, quality seal, as you can feel confident that this product comes from a company that is committed to quality and consistency. Dr. Downing says nutraceuticals are in their own class for pain relief in dogs, but unleashes this advice. Buyer beware, she says. This is a relatively unregulated industry, although it has gotten better in recent years. We now have several safe and effective nutraceuticals that have study data to support their use. Verdict. Both say to always talk to your veterinarian before giving your dog any over-the-counter product. Expect pain management in dogs to continue evolving. Technology continues to advance, so who knows what additional options we will have available that utilize various types of energy or mechanics, Dr. Downing says. At some point, the holy grail of cartilage replacement will be discovered, and there'll be a game changer in osteoarthritis management. Another option is pain-relieving therapeutic options. The healing power of touch can be effective in relieving pain in dogs. A pioneer in the use of acupressure on pets is Dr. Sue Furman, PhD, founder of the Holistic Touch Therapy School of Canine Massage and Acupressure in Victoria, Texas. Acupressure is used to control pain, cure disease, and promote healing, Dr. Furman says. The meridians or channels in the body are called qi, which is considered life energy. When qi gets blocked, it can initiate pain or discomfort or disease. If you stimulate particular points, you can initiate healing. For some canine patients, Dr. Downing combines the use of therapeutic laser, known as photobiomodulation, followed by acupuncture. She also has some pet parents that use the TPEMF, a CC loop, a CCAnimalHealth.com, in between clinical sessions at home. All of these are safe physical modalities that play a role in canine chronic pain management, she said. They are safe, effective, and grounded in good data. Next, we'll move on to Bark Out Loud for the Love of Dogs. I have a humorous one for you today. Dear Mr. Muttley, If Dogs Wrote a Manners Column, by Elise Rothrock. Dogs are very much like humans. Some have great manners, others have none. I don't know about you, but I've known dogs whose looks of harsh judgment and superiority could make even the most poorly mannered people change their ways for the better. In my humble opinion, some types of dogs writing a manners column for a wayward pups isn't that far-fetched a concept. I mean, not mine. Mine would give advice on how to be a hooligan, but others could give Dear Abby a run for their money. These are some of the advice topics dogs might ask and how straight-laced dogs would answer them. Why doesn't the cat appreciate my overtures of affection? Is he even a real being? We're fairly certain cats are not alien species, despite evidence to the contrary. Some actually enjoy canine affection and dare seek it out. Others just aren't that into you. Unless kitty comes slinking around for cuddles, it's best to leave this sharp-clawed foreign four-legger alone. Our mail carrier is particularly evil. How can I let him know I'm on to him without subjecting my owner to legal liability? We know you're asking yourself who creeps onto private property every day to drop off a bunch of useless papers. Odd uniformed people deliver what is called mail to your owners every day except holidays and Sundays. They mean you no harm, and frankly, your angry, aggressive vibe is sketchy. Sure, do your job, but chill on this one. They sometimes carry ouchy eye spray and other dog deterrents. My person only tells me I'm a good boy once a day. How can I let her know I need more? Sometimes a clinger level 5 pup finds himself matched with a clinger level 1 human. It doesn't mean your hairless leader doesn't love you. She's just got other things going on. Simply, calmly, and gently, but relentlessly remind her that you need her. Touch her hand, snuggle close, give her those irresistible puppy dog eyes our kind are known for, and she'll shower you with the affection you need and deserve. While walking with my person, another person yelled at me for pooping in a place that clearly smelled like I was not the first pooper to anoint that spot. What gives? Humans. That's what gives. Unfortunately, some just don't like dogs or dogs that heed nature's call on their lawn, regardless of your owner's responsible pickup practices. They were upset about it. They could post "no dogs, please" on their grassy areas. Otherwise, you know it's them, not you. Your owner can handle the slings and arrows of the haters for you. How inappropriate is it, really, to eat food from the counter when my owner has walked away from it? I mean, she left it there, and it goes against my canine nature to waste food. Humans do strange, forgetful, and just plain dumb things all the time. Like leave food on a plate before finishing it. Again, who does that? However, just because something is there doesn't mean it's yours for the taking. Well-mannered pups gently take what is offered to them, period. Why can't I pull on my leash? Why can't my owner go faster or be patient when I need to sniff everything? Pulling on your leash is just poor form. We know why you do it, but the human at the other end of the leash usually doesn't. She doesn't find out how to work with you to understand that not pulling will mean a better walkies experience for you both. Just try to chill and sniff. My owner yells when I bark at the doorbell. Isn't it my job to protect her? Should I just let the boogeyman get her to teach her a lesson? I've saved my owner from 2 mail carriers, 3 solicitors, and 1 Girl Scout trying to sell things, and yet she remains ungrateful. Sound familiar? Yes, we thought so. Distinct, loud barks in response to a doorbell are totally appropriate, and your person should be grateful. However, once she acknowledges her awareness of said random intruder, muzzle it. I have an alpha personality, but my first sibling is always goading me and stealing my toys and then acts like he's been wronged when I correct them. How can I send him the message that I'm the boss? It sounds like your little fur brother is a puppy who has yet to learn the true meaning of pack hierarchy. Most dogs fall into a natural pack order and read teeth, tail, ear, etc. messages loud and clear. Continue to school the youngin', but gently, and he'll learn his place in the den. Do I have to greet humans and act all sloppy and stupid around them? My mom just tells them I'm aloof or something. What do I do? There's nothing wrong with being aloof, or a floof, for that matter. The problem is when clueless and cueless humans can't catch your drift, try to pet you anyway, and get offended when you don't act like they're the greatest thing since sliced chicken. They fail to recognize how weirded out they would be if other humans approached them the same way. Our advice to you is you do you, and patiently endure unwanted affections. Chatty and grabby Kathy will get distracted by something else soon enough. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. All About Pets is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.